Welcome to Star for the Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SFB Online, then come on, then Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us. We have a podcast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either dial on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions, and the call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com. And search for call ID 17702. Or you can follow me on my Twitch TV channel, which is SFU On Call. And of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to reach me via Twitter, my Twitter account there is also SFU On Call. Shocker! So it's SFUONCALL, and my personal account is Paul Franz, PaulFranz. And of course, this lovely talk cast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Again, Steve Cole was busy being on vacation, so not much happening when it comes to him, except for him enjoying being in Hawaii. Steve Petrick was, of course, holding down the fort and working on SFB updates, and of course the Tholian Master Starship book. Gene was busy, of course, also holding down the fort, keeping things alive and active on Facebook, and communicating with people there, and you know, making sure that the spam assault on the BBS is non-existent, if possible. You know, if not, do some more fly swatting, or around here, lantern fly swatting. Moving on to the SFB Online Tournament, we have the Satisfied Star Tournament number 2. We have 4 signups so far, still waiting for some more people to join the fray. Onward and forward to the library. We have no progress on the library this week. Still stuck at completing conversions at 2,519 with yet to be converted to 811. Percent complete is 75.65. Now, I understand people don't like the conversions, but it's required by ADB and their licensing. So, sorry. I would love to switch it back, but I can't. So, with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me. It's the one and the only Paul Franz welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, you got me, you got Dave, and anyone else who actually want to show up in the chat room on Twitch. Hopefully I can, okay, boom, boom, let's do that. Okay, and I am right now moved it a little bit, so it's over here. Couldn't get it up here. Unfortunately, the bracket I got was a little, I didn't quite get the right one, I don't think. So I'm sorry. My wife is gone, and I've got cats all around me. So tonight, actually, what I was going to do is something relatively simple, and something that I'm to take advantage of that I have the ability to actually stream the video, and that was my cat, one of the 4 that are around here. So if you see one's coming up in front of the camera, you'll know why. But anyhow, given that we have a video stream, I'm going to post this up on YouTube. We've got, of course, you, which is on Twitch over here, which I'm live. Dave, it's Twitch, not Twitch, I think is what you did. Okay, but anyhow, given that, what we're going to do is I'm going to go over what Starfleet Warlord is. What Starfleet Warlord is basically, it's in the Starfleet universe. You know, there's the Federation, you got the Klingons, you got this. You know, okay, back up. Yes and no. You do have those ships. You don't have those empires per se. though there is a what's called a historical scenario where you have those empires are played by different players. Most of the time, you don't have that. What you have is the whole idea is you are going into the greater Middle-Aged cloud, and you have what are called warp gates, and you're a corporation within that greater Middle-Aged cloud, and the idea is to beat all the rest of the corporations. And how do you do that? Well, you do it through multiple measures. One of those measures, obviously, is to acquire, go out and search the different sectors, because you've got like either usually have like a 10 by 10 game, or you can possibly have like a 7 by 7 or something smaller. But these days we've been mainly going with 10 by 10 and then filling with extra powerful NPCs. Now, given that, there's one way of basically expanding is by going onto another world and with a ship and conquering it. Another way of course, part of this would be to actually get together. Basically, it's diplomacy. One of the things that you need to do to win in Starfleet Warlord is to be diplomatic, to basically make deals with people. That is going to be one of the ways to win in the game. You cannot win by playing the lone wolf. The lone wolf will die because of the other players who know that you need to make deals will make deals, and you will die. Plain and simple. So that's just a reminder from there. Now, this is an asynchronous game. Basically, it's turn-based. So it's called Play by Email. The original game was Play by Mail. Yeah, actually, things got printed out and you got sent them in the mail. And then you would you'd write things all out on your order sheet, and then you would mail them back in, which is a great way of doing it. But, back in the day, that was great. Today, we would definitely look at it and go, what's going on? It's kind of crazy to do that. So what you want to do, there's two ways of playing. There is, of course, the regular sheets. Give me a sec here. Okay, I'm going to be showing you. This is what a sheet is. When you play Starfleet Warlord, you put in your orders in a sheet like this, possibly. This is one way of doing it. This is the manual process. For those who are just listening, basically, it's an order sheet. The order sheet has the designation of the ship, the name of the ship, the position of the ship, and then number of blanks for the positions that you want the ship to go to. Now, this isn't like Starfleet Battles where you have turn modes and things like that. And this is not like F&E in that you have a command and control structure. You don't. This is completely mob rules. So you can have a fleet of 100 ships if you want. I've actually seen players do that, where they have this big, massive fleet, and they just move around and just kill things. Is that effective? Not all that much. Yes, it's good for killing things. Is it good for winning? Not necessarily. So what you do, you might enter, and then One way of doing it is actually printing out this sheet here and then mailing it in. Well, not emailing it back to me. Some people will print these out and then they will write in the different orders in these slots by hand. And then they will scan the sheets and send me an email with the scanned sheets. Now, this is called a manual order. And a manual order, I charge $7 a turn. Turns are usually 2-week turnarounds, just to let you know. So this isn't, $7 a turn and you're doing 5 turns in a day. No. That's not the way it works. So now this is the orders. Now this is part of the turn that you get back. That's one way of entering. Now the other way of entering yours is this. This is called the Starfleet Warlord Aid. At the moment, it's an actual desktop application. I plan on doing some kind of web-based application so that people no longer have to install it, because obviously Windows is getting really picky and the Mac is getting picky too, to the point where they really don't want people installing apps on their platform unless they actually are developed for their platform, which means web-based might be the best. And of course, the great thing about web-based is that you can do it anywhere. Now, what you would do is you'd click orders and then you type in your orders. Like this might go to 1203, then 1204, then 1304, and then 1405. Whoops. The program is going, hey, wait a minute. This order here, that's illegal. So it's red. So I can go back and go, okay, 4204 and 4205. So, and I'm going to do that for each and every turn. And there's things you can do to speed some of this up a little bit. Now, in theory, I could change this so that you could get on map and go click, 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 click. But let's be honest, entering in manual orders are a lot faster. And there's some special commands where you can copy the lines and just copy, bum, 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 bum. And it makes it real fast to enter in all your orders. But, this is a nice GUI for you to... And what would happen is after you're done entering your order, you click save. And save creates this file. And what you would do then is you take this file that you've created of the orders and send it to me. So, and that's a little bit less. It's only $4 a turn. So, and then after everyone has submitted their orders, then I will process all of those orders. And the output would look like this. I've hidden the name of the guilty in this one. Just to let you know that this actually is a game that's already completed. So I'm not showing you any information that is not, for the most part, known. I'm sure the person who this is did not know this information at the time. But at this moment, I don't think it really cares. It really doesn't matter if people know about other things about this game, about some of the quick turns, When you do a scan of terrain, it gives you this output. Now, when you get this output, I will actually generate a map, which shows you the terrain on the hex map. Now, each sector is made up of a 16x16 hex map. And so that's what you see here is the different kinds of terrain. ES is empty space. NE, that's a nebula. ES, it's basically point terrain and area terrain. So first one's point and then next one's area. So this is CO, that's a comet, plus NF. I forget what that NF is off the top of my head. But... Do I see? Do I have one here? Yeah, there it is. ESAF, which is an asteroid field. So in that case, if you go through an asteroid field, you'll get damage to your ship. All the rules are in a rule book. It's downloadable for free. You know, it's not that complicated. You know, it talks about the primary races, primary empires. I really need to change that because something tells me that Gene would appreciate if I actually used the word empires. But I have to go up and go update it. You know, it goes through all of them. While pirates, you know, different things that you'll encounter. Of course, purchasing ships, because what happens when you purchase a ship, there's two places it can go. Either it can go in your home office, which is your basically your starting location, and then or warp gates, because you can buy warp gates and move them throughout and have it so that when your ships get delivered, they don't have to go find the fleet out in the middle of nowhere. You can have a warp gate, which is slower. It's a really slow ship. It only can go two hexes a turn. Now, obviously, through a process of refits and things like that, you can make it go faster, but not much faster. You know, I think you can get it up to 4, maybe 5 with quite a bit of training and refits. But that to get that level, it takes up quite a bit of time. But as I said, you know, your ships get delivered. So whatever you can you pick an empire, sorry, empire, and your ship designates like a Fed CA. It'd be an F, you know, a CA, and that'll actually be delivered to that warp gate. Now there's some limitations. Obviously, one thing just like F&E, there's a starship availability. There's a year in which case those ships become available. Also, there's a limitation, which is it shown here? Yeah, here it is. That is that you can only purchase one type of ship, one of each type of ship per turn. But actually, you can buy more. It's just that you have a penalty. There's a surcharge. There's a 15% surcharge, and this is cumulative. So the third type of ship is a 30%. The fourth of the same type is a 45% surcharge. So it just gets more and more expensive to the point where it just you're paying 200% for the cost of a ship, and that gets kind of ridiculous. Now, obviously, there are different called special events. In some cases, special events. In some cases, sector specials that allow you to do more of that. Now, in a standard game, you might get events. Actually, I'm running a standard game which I have disabled the events, because the problem with events is that you get both the good and the bad, and so it makes play kind of uneven and so forth. So in that case, you know, might not want to do that. But in what's called a diehard format. Diehard format for people who've played for a while, and that allows people to select special events that they use. There's a list of special events that you can select, and of course the veterans know how to tweak those special events to their advantage and so forth, which is why I started up lately. I've been starting up some standard games for people who really want to just get away from the whole diehard. Okay, diehard lasts for 30 turns. Starting with whenever, and you start with 1,000, what's called EAPS. Basically, it's like a BPV value for a ship. But EAP is an economic value, EP, economic point. You know, and I call them EAPS just because I think it sounds better than EPS. But anyhow, so, you know, the different ship designation, they have a... You know, offense, they have an attack factor and a defensive factor and a shield factor. Shield factors are, they're regenerated each turn, except for in certain situations. There is a terrain where the shield factor is zero. If you stay there, it says zero. It stays zero. But, you know, attack factor and defensive factor, use that for battles. So what would happen when it comes to a battle where you actually, when you move your ships into another hex that another player is located in, then what happens is that there's a battle where your offensive goes against their defensive, and there's a random, what takes is the randomness of the full, okay, I can remember this right. Okay, whatever. I can't quite remember off the top of my head exactly how the algorithm works, which is I'm pretty sure that it takes the full allocation, divides up the amount of attack factor per ship and rolls for each ship gets a certain attack factor, and you get to roll one die for each of the ships. And then if you destroy a ship, well, it dies. And so it's not just a simple die roll that a hit, does it hit, does it not hit. It's a randomness of that range of effect. So, you know, and so it's crazy. But anyhow, speed, you know, of course, with age, you can do, after a certain point, you can upgrade a ship after a certain number of years that it's been in existence without it dying, without it being blown up. Of course, there's changed missions. Things like slaver, you know, Orion slaver ships can have different missions. Just like, it's like special options, you know, option mounts, where in SFB, so you can actually change out the mission of what like a slaver ship is doing. It can go from being like a carrier to being a scout, you know, and you can change the mission. And right, I'm just seeing if there's anything else that already mentioned. Combat. Now, combat happens when you run into another player or a monster, possibly. Now, the one thing to remember about this game, which is a challenge, and I know some people will recognize this, which is that it is asynchronous. That means you submit your orders, and your opponent enters their orders. They don't know what your orders will be when you enter your orders. So they're guessing where you're going to be. He's going to guess where you're going to be. Now, it's the same way with monsters, but monsters have a known algorithm about how they move, and that, you know, so it makes it quite a bit easier to intercept monsters. And they're, you know, like solar snakes. What else? Dragons, not dragon. You know, dragons, space dragons, and things like that. Where, you know, those are very predictable in the movement that they do. Now, so this, at a certain point, when you hit so many sites, because each time you actually acquire a site, you can get more EEPs, because each site produces different kinds of resources. You got people, you got ore, you got dilithium crystals, and I forgot what the FP is off the top of my head. And so an EEP, in this case, yeah, in this case, all 100. So that's come, that produced 100 EEPs per turn. And obviously you can, okay, I'll get to that in a moment. Wow. Did not realize you had one of those. sorry. I'm seeing some. I'm really for some looked at this, but because an EEP is made up of equal parts of each resource, people or dilithium and crystals and FP, all of them. But depending upon what the site is like, you know, if it's an asteroid, is it a planet? These things can be higher or lower. In this case, a comet, there's no people, but there's plenty of ore, dilithium crystal, and FP. And each turn you have this economics phase, which is collects this money, these resources, and then from that creates EEPs, and from those EEPs you buy ships. And one thing I forgot to do, and let me just give me a sec, which is the ship list. This is a standard ship list. There's the year of availability, the speed of the ship that to start with, like see if Federation Express, a FedEx, it's available in year 160, but the speed is 6, so it can go really, really fast. Now, the one thing you want is when you start off the game, what you want is you want a lot of ships that are scouts, if possible, because of, the exploration fighters. See, it has an S, so it's a scout. Because that scouts can give you can actually do the scans of the terrain, so they can go into a neighboring sector, do a terrain scan, so you can find out where you're going. Because the thing is, if you don't do a terrain scan, you can go through a sector blind. If you go through a sector blind, you can run into nasty things. You could run into a comet, you could run into a planet, in some cases you can just die. So the whole idea of gameplay when it comes to that is that you want to go, you kind of blindly go into the next sector and hope that you didn't do anything dumb and run into a planet. And then do a scan, a sector scan, a terrain scan at that point, so that you can find out, what's there. So that's why you want to have quite a few, if you can, get quite a few scouts. Obviously, you got to, at the same time, you have to balance that out with some ships that are, the problem is with this one, actually not too bad, it's a speed of 5. But if you look at the offensive and defensive, offensive potential is 12. Defensive is 20. So it's not bad. 20, it's not bad. But if you look at some of these bigger ones, for example, let's look at the Federation CA. Okay, let's go for a heavy cruiser. Heavy cruiser. Here it is. It's available year 130. It's a cost of 125 EEPs. It's got 40 attack factor and 40 of a defense factor. And that has 27 shield factor. So it's got decent shields and good attack and defense. Because sooner or later, even if you don't run into other players, you're going to run into monsters. And the thing is, you're going to have a fighting force, because of there are NPCs, non-player corporations, on the planets who have already taken over. And at that point, you have to defeat them to take that site. So you can't just whiz around and scout and find all this wonderful stuff. You can't do that. It doesn't work. But so, So that's a ship list. Of course, this is the site list. At a certain point, when you get enough sites and it gets old enough, they'll do this. A site list will be generated. Now, I was talking about also when you completely take over all of the major sites in a sector, you actually, I think all the major and minor sites, at that point, you get a sector special for conquering that sector. So, and you can get things like a refit center, academy capital, Ryan Pryor Association, you know, things like these. These are special abilities of that are that allow you. Actually, it looks like there's two of them, Ryan Pryor Associations. But that's because there are two different sectors. They can have two different sector specials. They can the sector specials can be duplicated. There's no guarantee that you'll have a unique one for each sector you conquer. You know, it's random about which one you get. Except for in Die Hard, you start with one in your home office, and you get to decide what that sector special is. Now, there's one which is really, really powerful and is not allowed, which is what's called Resource Equalizer. Basically, it will take what you have and the greatest amount, the one resource that is the greatest amount, it'll raise all the rest of the resources to that level. The problem is that it's so powerful, it cannot be ever selected by a player. It must be random for you to get that one because it's such a great and powerful one. Now, at the end of the game, this is generated. This it basically, as it says, end of game sitemap. Basically, this tells you at the very end where people were overall. Okay? In this case, you've got Doc's legions are all over the place. They're here and they're down all down here. I'm willing to bet his home office was down here. Yeah, I think they might have been. Yeah. And then D, that would be Nora Flying Circus. Guy Peter Hickman. This is where he was. He was all over here. And then you even had someone that was called the graveyard. The graveyard is an interesting thing. You're allowed to take one ship into the graveyard. In that case, you can go to different sites in the graveyard and collect up resources, things like that. Now, it's only one ship, so kind of create, you know, so it's limited. But it's just, you're protected. You don't have to worry about people, you know, really attacking you there per se, because of you're only allowed one ship, and Andromedan ships, which are, they have the mother ships, they're not allowed to bring their little babies with them. So if that's allowed, it just unbalances completely. But you know, you can see all these here. This is the way the current formatted, which is it's a letter for the final map, which at the moment I'm keeping. I haven't really worked on improving this to show like some kind of symbol. Letters at the moment I think are pretty good, but you know, so people can see at the end where they were. If they were completely and utterly surrounded and had no hope whatsoever in winning, you know, where everybody else was, obviously this, you can see this sector here. This sector looks like nobody. Actually, we have one person. What's that? That was the Frax Sperm, which is the NPC, was in here, but nobody else was by the end of the game. And this is a diehard game, so there was 30 turns. A standard game doesn't go for 30 turns. It goes for a little less than 30 turns. But that all depends on who achieves the goal first. So, okay, I forgot okay, this is the orders. Now, there it is. Yeah, I already said, okay, this is the report. It shows your sites. And then, of course, the kind of cool thing about the report is, okay, let's read one of the entries here. 45-0407. Okay, so something happened in this hex location right here. Said the Wynn pocket battleship, that's a PBB, 4, Protector 4, turned itself into surplus equipment. Okay, so basically what the person had done is they had scrapped the ship, because that's one thing you can do, is that at some point if you want to, you can scrap your ship. And from that, he recovered 41 EEP. By scavenging this aging hulk for scrap metal, 6 PFs were taken off the mechlinks and returned to home for reassignment. 4 T-bombs, transporter bombs, were packed up and to be used on another ship. An MRS shell was found among the other shells and might still be useful. The Wynn Auxiliary SCS Francesca turned itself into surplus equipment, another scrap. 37 EEP was recovered by salvaging this aging hulk for scrap metal. 6 PFs were taken off mech links and returned to the home base for a reassignment. 4 transporter bombs were packed up to use by another ship. An MRS shell was found among the shells and might still be useful. So basically, he scrapped 2 ships on that turn. Let's keep going. And what also one thing that happens is, okay, this is, you know, a general overview. Okay, here are about your economics. These are your legendary officers that you have. You gain a legendary officer every single turn. And you have primary race. The primary races allows you to buy a ship without penalty. But if you pick outside of your primary race, then you have a penalty for that. Some automatic scans, because of one thing that I was looking at was this. You can do what's called fortifying a site. A fortifying a site basically builds a base. And it looks like this player, he got up to a star base here. A battle station here. He really put a lot of fortification to this, which is a war base here. And then finally, he just went all out. I'm assuming that this is his home sector, his home office, because of it has a mega base. And each base has its own, each level of base has its own abilities that it gets. It gets additional abilities for larger base you build. From even with a mega base, you can basically do scanning. You can scan for cloak ship. That's one thing that you can do. For certain ships, obviously you have to have a cloak on board. A player can cloak a ship. Now, it's kind of like Starfleet Battle Force in that regard, in that you can cloak a ship, but at the beginning of the next turn, it's no longer cloaked. And the thing is, while you're cloaked, the sector scans, you don't show up unless you got something like maybe a mega base where you can do a cloak scan of the entire sector, in which case you can't sneak up on that. Now, the sector scans can have different levels of scanning, from the most basic scan, which just says, okay, here are the different hexes in that sector of where there's a ship, at least one ship. And then when you go a little higher in some of the sector scans, that you get more abilities. And then in case, you know, you can Another one that says you can scan for cloaks. Another one is that, you get the ability to actually tell how many ships are at that location. So, that depends upon your base. Now, there's some other things you can do. You can set up listening posts to keep an eye out on a sector where you don't want to actually put a base, but you can put a listening post, which is a lot cheaper. But you obviously first have to own that site, and then you can set up a listening post, and then when your enemy comes, at that point, you see him. You get a report on your ship. Now, and if you notice down the bottom here, is of course heard in subspace. One of the things is here, right here, the people stationed at site 84024 headed to the deep shelters today when the air raid sirens signaled an attack by an enemy Nasty Space Monsters 998 Corporation. That's an NPC. With a feeling of impending doom settling over them, the brave Weird AI 734, Corporation 734, crews did the best they could, but lost in the end. They had to face these ships. One monster phantom ship, two monster phantom ships, with only these defending them, one satellite, an ISC destroyer, auspicious one, and an Andromedan bull ship, Cannelloni one. So these are things. Another one that reported is the personnel aboard the Docks Legions Corporation 114 fleet, the Romulan Firehawk X ship, IKV Kedalora, thought they had a real battle on their hands in 75-07-13. But as they flew in to attack, they were pleasantly surprised to find all the blips on the screen were just shuttles on a training mission. Needless to say, Weird II 734 quickly lost control of the site. So, neat little things that's are reported, in the news that what's heard in subspace. Which is always to me kind of cool things about Starfleet Warlord is this little here from subspace. Currently, I don't require players to do write-ups. Actually, I had someone do a write-up one time of their game as a story, which I think was, to me, I think that would absolutely be fantastic is if somebody would do that, because of you can easily see that you are the commander of the head of this corporation who's what are they trying to do? They're trying to succeed, and it's kind of like being head of the East India Company, that kind of idea, because East Indian Company, yeah, they traded in teas and goods, but also they were an armed force, or at least had an armed force available to them. So that's kind of what you are. You own an army, but also that's not your ultimate goal. Your ultimate goal is to win by, in some cases, do have stock value. Here it is. This was part of it. It tells you, who's got the most fortified ships? Who has the highest income? So, because the thing is, the more income you have, the more ships you can build. Or not build, buy. Because you don't build anything. You buy them. They come through the warp gates. most defensive, you know, the busiest sectors, i.e. the ones that have the most ships or most activity in them. And this mentioned, okay, your income is number three in income, number five in power, number six in ships, and number five in fortifications. Most prospectable. That means, because that's one thing you can do, is you can prospect the moons of a site. And the great thing about when you prospect a site, you gain that resources from prospecting. And then if you go away for a while, it rebuilds it back up, and then you can go prospect again. Obviously, you know, you don't want to do that like every single turn because it doesn't really produce that much. It's worth your time to stop to prospect a site once, then move on to the next site and maybe come back like four turns later and let it build up some. But, you know, you don't want to sit there every turn and go prospect, 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 because you might get like 2-3 EEPs versus if you fly to that next site, which is 5 hexes away, and go prospect that one, that will give you like 40 EEPs. So, you know, that's one of those things that you'd want to do. Did I cover it all? The reports, got the Warlord rules, which are available for you. One thing I forgot to mention, which is, of course, the website. I currently have a $1 PayPal fee, a sign-up fee, quote-unquote. I say quote-unquote because of that money goes directly to your account to pay for any future turns, which makes things kind of weird. The reason I currently have it that way is just so that it basically forces people, if they're interested, they'll pay $1. It's not expensive. It's a dollar. If you can't afford $1 to sign up for a game that you're planning on playing, you know, the main reason is to avoid spammers. Yeah, and Lord knows I still have to clean it up every once in a while from accounts that are kind of created and never used because they're created by these spam bots who go in and enter the orders. Now, I don't have CAPTCHA or anything like that to stop them from doing that, but I have it so that I never see it. It never gets listed as an account, a true account, until someone actually pays for it. And that's $1. That's through PayPal. Now, obviously, if you want to, I do have other ways of doing that, i.e., you know, Square. You know, a lot of people pay through Square too. If you don't want to pay, that's fine. Send me an email saying, I just signed up. Here's my email account. This is an email account I use for signing up for my account. Can you activate me? And I'll be happy to do that for free. Just I truly want to keep the spam down to a minimum. Now, the website that everything goes off of is play-buy-e-mail.com. Now, you're wondering, well, why do you have all those dashes in there? Real simple. Back in the day when I first created this website, playbyemail.com, without the dashes, was owned by somebody else. At some point in the past 5 years or so, that website became available. And no one was squatting it or anything like that and hoping to get a big payday. I'm not, sorry guys, I'm not going to do a big payday because there's a couple of them which I've wanted to get, but they haven't been available. Why have not been available is because someone cyber squatted them. And they want, you know, there was one time I actually did bid on one. I bid, I think it was like $200 to pay for one, and it wasn't enough. And some of these where they go, oh, you know, you can try it. You know, minimum bid's $500. I'm going, no. I don't want that web domain that badly, because if I'm actually going to use it as an active website, yes. Most of the time, no. Because most of the time, it's more of a redirection, kind of a marketing kind of thing. But anyway, okay, so you can create your account, you know, enter your name. This reminds you, okay, registration fee is $1. Electronic processing turns 4, and manual processing is 7. You can go into your account. I got sample game files here, just like I showed you, you know, including a sample map. This is what it's going to look like. I don't have the screenshots. I do have, for those from back in the day, as if this wasn't old enough, the first issue of this newsletter was back in 93. I don't produce a newsletter anymore. In fact, ADB doesn't want me to. They want me to have anything part of the Cabin's Log. So these are the archive of Bruce Grawl, the original creator of Starfleet Warlord. His newsletters I archived them, and I kept them for people who wanted to look at it. This is, you know, old. You can look at this if you want to. Feel free to look at all the old newsletters. I had the screenshots for the client. These are some of the older games. At one point, I wanted to have like an active list here, and that kind of went by the wayside. But and this one actually I have to update, because what I want to do is this. I want to have it so that each finished game, the ending game sitemap is up on the website. I gotta get caught up, because I've completed Die Hard 41 through 44. Still playing 45, 46, and 47. Regular games, I've done 86, 87, 88, and 89. And we're doing right now game 90. I haven't done this for a while, and that is back when I first took over Starfleet Warlord. I allowed people to have individual grudge matches. If people still want to do that, feel free to contact me, and we'll see if we can set something up. Haven't had that for a while. I haven't had anyone want that for a while, so I removed that possibility from it. I do have beginner's games. If you want to, you can sign up for it. Just, you know, you have to sign up for an account. Just call sign the password, and then you can sign up. And then I'll contact you about having a beginner's game. We try to get like up to 4 players. One thing I've been experimenting with, which is a single person game. It's called a learner's game. In that, it is a 3x3 game where you play by yourself. The idea is that you learn the rules, you learn how to play. And as you learn how to play, then you say, okay, I feel comfortable about how to move things, how to get a site, you know, acquire a site, how to do these other things. I think I feel comfortable enough where actually I can join the rest of humanity, rest of the Warlord universe, and go from there and actually play, you know, against other players. One thing I let you know, there is a Starfleet Warlord group on Facebook. So So if you want to go there, feel free to join the group. Now, you know, it is by invite, not invitation. You have to ask to join. So you can't, you can look at it, but you can't post until that point. So feel free to ask to be part of the group, and I'll be happy to let you in. The big issue there is I just want to keep the amount of spammers down. Again, I'm so terrified that we're going to get crap into the group, and I'm going to have to police it and manage it and all this kind of crud, which I didn't sign up for. And I'm sure no one wants to deal with it either, because they get enough of that through their inbox, you know. So, and it's a wonderful community there. You know, the people are very nice. Obviously, most of the discussion is about the game, possibly one of the current games that's going on. Maybe if, I'm running late and getting the turns out for that week. Actually, we have one going right now, which is crazy. This is the first time I've ever tried this, and we'll see how long it lasts. And that is Die Hard 47. Die Hard 47 is a one-week turnaround. Not 2 weeks, 1 week. Every single week, you have to have your orders in to me. If you don't get them in, you know, your turn will be skipped. I do mean it. Because we've had enough issues with that. But, you know, just in case you didn't know this, this here was the original cover of the hard copy of the rule book. Now, I do print out hard copies of the rule book without this cover here on a request basis only. And obviously it costs more because I have to cover my printing costs and cover my shipping cost. Versus, if you want to, go. You can download the PDF, print it out yourself. Either print it out or you go to Staples. They can, if you want to, you can go to Staples and they'll actually, trust me, Staples can create a nice book of your rules, and that is fine. If that's what you want, go ahead. Feel free. You know, obviously. I encourage people to print it out and use it, you know, because Lord knows, as I mentioned multiple times on multiple occasions, that is that I learn best by printing something out and reading it out of a hard copy. I don't know what it is, but that's how I remember things the best. Reading electronically on a screen, you know, it just never really goes well for me. Eagles are beating the Packers. But that's Starfleet Warlord. You know, we'd love to have you join us in this great adventure of playing Starfleet Warlord in the different, you know, still the Starfleet universe. You know, we still have the Federation, the Klingons, and all of them. And hopefully. I've been bugged for the past couple of years. This guy named Shelley. Shelley wants me to add some more Andromedans. Now, I need to go over what he's given me. And then I want to submit it to the community. So that some of them, okay, they're basically from the, what was it? C3A module, I think it is. Some. I'm thinking about adding them, at least some of them. But as I pointed out to Shelley on that issue, which is the biggest issue with adding ships is that some ships are so like other ships. I mean, they're just minor tweaks, this number here, this number here. And what the problem with that is this. It adds ships for no reason. But it only adds a ship for one reason, and one reason only. It adds a ship so that you can buy basically two ships, buy basically the same ship twice with no penalty. So that's a big, big savings. You save 15% by buying that second ship, which is so much like the first ship that there's hardly any difference whatsoever. So in that case, that's why I told Shelly, it's like, okay, I've actually looked at some a little bit. I have to go through it again because part of it is that I need to understand how to add ships into the engine because I've never done it before. I inherited this from Bruce because he said, you know, I just want to get out of the whole Starfleet Warlord business, and just gave it to me and said, do whatever you want with it. Just pay me my license fee. And I went, okay, fine. And actually, every once in a while, I get a little email from him. It's like, Paul, I can't believe this is still going. You know, and I'm happy to, I'm surprised every single time I see a check from you. It's like, yeah, well, I'm still doing it, you know. And it's like, I'm still doing this thing. I'm still sitting in front of this microphone and doing a podcast every single week. Well, almost every single week. There's some weeks that I definitely have to skip. Thanksgiving for one, which is, that's still not coming up for another couple months. So we should be golden when it comes to that. Wow, that reminds me. I gotta reschedule my daughter's appointment for Monday. Whoops. Gotta do that. But anyhow, so I hope that you will come and join us in Starfleet Warlord. If it sounds like something that's interesting to you, by all means. If you want to wait, if you have any questions, please feel free to email me either at sfuoncall@gmail.com, or if you want to, email me at playbyemail.com. You know, that would be warlord@play-by-e-mail.com. I know it doesn't flow off the tongue. But send either one of those. Be feel free to send to either one of those email addresses. I'll be happy to answer any questions you have. Anything that I did not cover. Obviously, feel free to download the Warlord rulebook and look at it yourself. If you want to read through it, I said I'll be happy to answer any questions. Also, one way to get questions answered: come join us if you have a Facebook account. I still do. As it is, the reason why we're still on Facebook is because the group said, well, this is the only thing, only social thing that I do. I.e., I can't just like set up a forum and then have everyone migrate to the forum because they don't want to. They want to stay on Facebook, which is, to me, is grumble, grumble. I want to leave Facebook like a bad, I want to drop Facebook like a bad habit. Unfortunately, I can't do that. So it is what it is. So if you're on Facebook, join our group. If you're not on Facebook, well, feel free to check out the website. Feel free to email me. Feel free, to contact me in any way, that you want to do that. Whether, heck, you go, contact me via Twitter if you're on Twitter. I know some people don't like that, too, which I find strange. Some people think Twitter is a cesspool. Well, overall, it kind of is a cesspool. But for people that are like you and like me, we can avoid most of the crap. Because it is only when you're a celebrity, minor or major, that you get a lot of crap. For you and for me, all I got to do is make sure I follow people that I want to follow. So my feed is only for those people that I'm following. That's all I look at. I don't look at the general feed of everything that's happening on Twitter because I think that's nuts. Now, do I have, is there a possibility of a problem with bias because of what I limit my filter to do? It's like, yeah. But everyone has that issue with whatever platform. It's been that the whole idea of bias in what you read has always been there. Always been there. It's just that now that we have electronics, it's a lot easier to do. Of course, then we have the whole bots and all that kind of crap. Let's not go there at the moment, shall we? Okay, well, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.